Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And we welcome everyone back to the Barclays Center. Bottom of the hour, Dick Girardi is going to join me here at the Barclays Center as Penn State gets ready for Ole Miss in the semifinals of the tournament. The nightcap will be Oklahoma State and Syracuse. Coming up in a few moments, we're going to hear Nate Sestina, former Bucknell star, now doing great things in Kentucky. He sat down and talked earlier in the week with Matt Cotrillo, and we'll hear Matt's interview with Nate, and Matt, as usual, did a great job. Before we get to that, on this Thanksgiving Eve, number one, we're brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great deals this weekend. You got to check them out with that awesome sales staff. Tremendous product lines, and also a service department that takes care of it with their expertise all the way through. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. On this Thanksgiving Eve, I want to take you back to Saturday. Nate Mays, the quarterback of Youngstown State, against North Dakota State about a month ago, broke his ankle. Out for the rest of the season. Youngstown State was playing at home on Saturday. And this is one of those moments, those great moments, of being thankful that you're around people who care like this.
Youngstown State is taking a knee with 10 seconds, or taking a timeout with 10 seconds remaining, and this is pretty amazing what they're doing. We talked about Nate Mays, and they are bringing him in. Matt Jones and Miles Douglas, two seniors, will carry the senior quarterback, Nate Mays, into the game so that he can take the final knee of the season for the Penguins. And what a moment here. Mays, the senior from Urbana, Ohio, who we just talked about, the career, such a warrior he was, and this shows you what he meant to this team and this program as they got him in a uniform. He was not dressed, but they got him in a uniform to get him out on the field to take this knee. And I think this speaks to what this program and team thinks about Nate Mays.
Well, these are the type of team-building things that this is what you like to see. And as a senior, they're the leaders of your team. And to go out with a victory and then to have your leader take the last snap is something special the Penguins can carry into the offseason.
So Nate Mays gets the final snap of his career. I wish it was under different circumstances, but great to see Nate come out with his teammates and take one final snap.
Indeed, he did. They carried him out, teammate on each side, and then they carried him back off the field, teammate helping him on each side. On this Thanksgiving Eve, we thought that was appropriate to play today as our play-by-play call of the day. Nate Sestina did some great things here at Bucknell for Nathan Davis. Great things. Outstanding player. Got his degree and had the opportunity to go someplace else for his graduate senior season. And so he chose Kentucky. And he's been exactly what John Calipari was hoping for. Our Matt Cotrillo had a chance to talk with Nate Sestina of Kentucky.
Matt Cotrillo here with former Bucknell men's basketball player and current University of Kentucky men's basketball player Nate Sestina. Nate joined us from Bucknell for the last 4 years, and now he's with Kentucky in his fifth year of eligibility. Nate, thanks so much for joining us here on the Steve Jones Show, and we appreciate your time.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
So, Nate, I have to ask you this right off the bat, because I know a lot of people might be wondering about this, seeing the tough loss you guys had at home to Evansville a couple weeks ago. What was that process like, just trying to move on from that game for the team and for you personally, trying to move on from that tough loss you guys had?
It's just like any other game. You can't dwell on things. You can't sit here and worry about a loss, because after it's over, what else can you do other than watch film and get better? So that's pretty much what we did. We came together as a team. We sat down. We watched everybody on film. I watched some of myself and watched where I was getting beat and watched what I was doing wrong, and then talked to the coaches about it. And then I watched film as a team. We talked about it. And then we made the adjustments. We worked on it in practice. And then we moved forward. Just like any loss that we had at Bucknell, too. You come together as a team. You sit down. You watch your film. And you break everything down so that everybody on the team, whether you're playing a lot or whether you're not, understands what we need to do to move forward and be better. And then help get the team a win.
So how would you, going back to the beginning of the season when you first made your debut for the Wildcats, how would you describe your experience playing for your first game for Kentucky at Madison Square Garden, mind you, the world's most famous arena, and then when you started making not just shots but some big shots in that game in particular?
It's unreal. It's like, for me, you guys know who I am and what I'm about and from a small area, and to be able to play on basketball's biggest stage for my first game of college and to win and play a team like Michigan State and get a win was big. And it was kind of surreal walking out for warm-ups and everybody that you could, like, fit into one building was in there. John Wall and Kevin Durant were courtside. And that obviously doesn't happen at Bucknell. So that was a cool experience for me. And then after the game, John Wall came to the locker room and talked to us and told us that we have a special group and that we do something special, but we have to continue each day to get better and to move forward. And to play Michigan State again was awesome for me, because I had lost to them in the NCAA tournament, so it was nice to get a win.
Right, absolutely. Get that little bit of revenge factor for you personally after you guys with Bucknell lost to them in the first round the year before. So getting back to the kind of getting how you were ready for the whole process of getting used to a new team like Kentucky, preparing for a much more competitive conference and a higher level of talent, what was that whole process like for you?
It was a little overwhelming at first. I mean, I was so used to how we play that at Bucknell. I was so used to that system, how we played defense there, what we did on offense. And like, the speed of the game is a whole lot different, and I think that's the biggest adjustment that I had to make, was just playing faster and being ready to go and being ready to play at all times. But like, you can't take a possession off, or you can't be slow here, or you're going to fall behind and it's going to be impossible to catch up. So when we first started doing everything, just getting adjusted to the speed of the game and getting adjusted to how Coach Cal coaches, he throws a lot of stuff at you, and he expects a lot out of his guys because he knows the kind of players that they can be. So he throws a lot of stuff at us, and he expects us to pick it up. And if we don't, then we don't ask questions, then on us, because, like, if you don't understand something, you should be able to ask a question about it. And I think that's the other thing that I had to adjust to, was being able to ask questions even if I knew it, because I knew our younger guys might not have known it. So just being willing and accepting to just kind of take that hit for making it seem like I didn't know something, but just to make sure that the younger guys felt comfortable.
And how would you describe your relationship with John Calipari, and especially when he first approached you about coming over to Kentucky?
I have a great relationship with him. He holds me to a very high standard, and that's something that I wanted. He pushes me every day in practice. He challenges me every day, puts me in different situations to step outside of my comfort zone. And that's what this place is all about. You can't come here and be comfortable, because then you get lackadaisical and you don't step up to the challenge. So every day is something new, whether you have to go rebound or whether you have to take a charge or try to block shots or guard a certain player. Every day is something different, and I think that's something that coach does very, very like well with me, is he challenges me every day, and that kind of builds our relationship. And I think that we have a great relationship. And it's crazy because I have such a good relationship with my coaching staff at Bucknell still, and I know that when I leave here that I'm going to have a great relationship with this staff too.
Well, that's awesome. That's certainly great to hear, and it just shows the kind of player in person you were here at Bucknell and continue to be at Kentucky. And you mentioned before playing Michigan State, having a chance to play them again, first game of the year at Kentucky. Did the way Bucknell's always challenging non-conference schedule, NCAA tournament appearances, did all that help you in this kind of changing process here?
Oh, absolutely. And that's the biggest thing that I tell these guys is any game, anything can happen. Like, I have been on that side of games where I've been the underdog. I've been that mid-major team that comes in and has nothing to lose and everything to gain if you win. And so, like, you have to be prepared for every team, every game. And playing at Bucknell and playing, especially my junior season, holy cow, we started it off with four straight losses, and you would have thought that every Bucknell basketball fan was going to turn in their season tickets. And then we ended up winning the conference championship. So it's kind of funny to see how a challenging schedule like that has prepared me mentally for playing in bigger games. And playing in the NCAA tournament has done that. It's a different beast because you're going to be playing these teams every single game. It's not playing one or two of them or three of them in the beginning of the year. It's every single night conference play, you're playing a top team that is looking to knock you off and is looking to punch you in the mouth. And that's just something that I'm really looking forward to is conference play, because that's when basketball gets really, really fun.
Oh, no doubt about that. And with you on the floor in particular, first few games of the year, about 9 points per game, 8.5 rebounds per game. So you're almost there at a double-double per game. Did you expect to play right away off the bench, let alone have this much success that you've had so far?
I wasn't expecting anything, honestly. I knew I was going to have to work really hard to earn minutes and to step up and be whatever the coaching staff needs me to be, whether that's playing 35 minutes or whether it's playing 1 minute. However long I'm in the game and whatever they need out of me, that's what I'm going to do, and that's how I've always played, and that's what I did at Bucknell for my 3 years playing behind Nana and Zach, and that was actually the best thing for me because it made me appreciate basketball more than playing every second of the game and coming out of the game and being upset about coming out. Like, playing the role that I did for 3 years helped me, and it shaped me into who I am now. So whether I'm playing however, like 35 minutes, that'd be great. I have mentally prepared myself for that. I have physically prepared myself for that. And if I'm playing 1 minute, I've done the same thing. I've prepared myself mentally and physically for that as well. And I'm always going to be a good teammate. I'm always going to be cheering my guys on, whether I'm on the court or off the court. Somebody comes off the court, I'm the first guy off the bench, give him a high five and talk to him. And I think that's something that I've tried to carry with me from Bucknell to here. And I think so far I've done a pretty good job of that.
Now, looking at Bucknell this year, have you had a chance to follow your former teammates through their first few games? And what do you like about this year's team? I know you mentioned you've already stayed in touch with Coach Davis and the staff.
Yeah, I actually watched the end of the Vermont game. We had practiced, so I missed the first half. I watched the Penn State game the other day. And then I was able to catch the last few minutes of the Hofstra game at home. I'm trying to catch games. It's just tough because most of the time when they're playing on the weekends, like, we'll have a practice or something. So I can't always catch those. But I always catch the recaps, or I'll ask those guys what they thought of the game, and I'll go look at the stats and the box score. But I think they're going to have a really good team. I mean, you have a really, really good core coming back with Andrew Funk, who played a lot as a freshman. I know Walter Ellis was in the gym all summer. I talked with him a lot. He's shooting the ball really well. Jimmy's playing confidently coming off of his shoulder surgery. John Meeks is absurd. I mean, the guy is – you throw it to them anywhere on the court, he'll get you a bucket. Avi Toomer's playing really well. I talk with him frequently about being a good leader and continue to do what he's doing. And he's more vocal than he's ever been, and I love to hear that. Bruce Moore had an awesome game against Penn State. Paul Newman's game is starting to click, and it's starting to turn around for him, and he's going to be hard to guard. especially as he gets older. And everybody that's coming, and Khalil Spear has made a complete 180, and I couldn't be happier for him because he came in and he struggled as a freshman. I struggled as a freshman, so I was able to talk to him a little bit. Towards the end of the season, he turned it around, and now he is a completely different player. And everybody on the team has nothing but good things to say about him. So I can't wait to watch these guys once conference play starts and watch them prove everybody wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. All those guys you just mentioned off to tremendous starts. And just talking about Khalil Spear in particular, I thought he had one of his better games in his coming out party. And Jimmy Soto, as you mentioned, all those guys, I think they're having a pretty good start to the year for the Bison. And getting into Coach Davis, I know he's always want to make sure you guys are in the best position to win games and be the best basketball players you can be. But I know he's also very, very permanent to make sure that you guys are the good student athletes that the Bucknell University wants you guys to be. And so what was that like? And also being a good man on and off the court too. So what were some of those lessons you've taken from Coach Davis throughout your 4 years?
I think the biggest thing that Coach Davis does when he recruits guys is he doesn't recruit idiots. He's not going to recruit somebody that's going to cause problems on the court or somebody who's going to cause problems off the court. He always has guys that are good students, guys that go to class, guys that get good grades, that worry about that stuff. Because if you have guys that go to Bucknell that aren't worried about their grades, that's the wrong school to do. At least that's a challenge in order to expand and get better and get smarter and learn something. But he does a very good job of recruiting guys that are willing to step up to that challenge of being pushed mentally. And I think that's something that with the team that he has this year, they're going to be fine. And then for me, like, my transition with going from Bucknell to here with academically is it actually helped me, taught me time management. And I have night classes, so it's a little bit different, but I'm able to get my stuff done early in the day so that I have all day to work out or practice or watch film or do all the extra stuff. And I really love that. And I couldn't thank Coach Davis and their staff enough for keeping me when I was a freshman, when Coach Paulson and those guys left. They could have easily told me to to go somewhere else, but they kept me and my guys on board, and I couldn't be more thankful for that.
And lots of individual and team accomplishments in your time as a Bison, including a couple NCAA tournament appearances, Patriot League regular season and tournament titles. What's some of those memories that stand out to you?
I mean, obviously winning back-to-back championships, that's something that was like a capstone of my Bucknell experience, and doing it with the three guys that are three of my best friends in the whole world, Kimball, McKenzie, Matt O'Reilly, and Nate Jones. And just honestly, it's a lot of the stuff that people don't see, a lot of the early morning lifts, the early morning workouts and conditioning, and being in the locker room with just us and no coaches, nobody else, just the players. Listening to music after practice, everybody's in there stretching, getting ready to go get dinner, and then going and eating dinner as a team in the cafeteria. And it's stuff like that that people don't see and they don't realize is, like, that's where your team bonding comes together the most. It's after a 2.5-3 hour practice where you're dead tired and you can think about something funny that happened in practice, and then everybody laughs. Like, Khalil would dunk on somebody in, like, scout team, and nobody would say anything during practice because if we laughed, we would run. And then, like, after practice, we'd all look at whoever it was and be like, all right, like, got dunked on. And then we were able to kind of joke about it. But a lot of it just – there's a lot of those early mornings and the late nights and hanging out as a team, watching college football games, getting pizza delivered to the Swicka Pavilion and watching it in the locker room, like, stuff like that. It's stuff that I definitely miss about that team. And I have that here. We'll get food and we'll watch football in where we live in the lodge. But it's different because it's a different team, it's different players, but it's a very similar experience where team bonding doesn't always just happen on the court. I don't think people really realize that. It's all the small stuff off the court that builds up and adds up and turns into the team you are.
Well, those are a lot of fun memories, and I think that was a good decision to wait till after practice, because Coach Davis, I know for sure, would definitely have made you guys run if you guys had a laughter in practice. Well, Nate, thanks so much again for the time. We miss you here at Bucknell, but we love watching you with the University of Kentucky doing some great things down there with the Wildcats. Keep it going for us. We're cheering for you. We're rooting for you. And have a good rest of the season. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you very much for having me.
And that is Nate Sestina, former Bucknell men's basketball player, now with the University of Kentucky. He joins us here on the Steve Jones Show.
Oh, tremendous job, Matt. As always, Matt Cotrillo always does a great job. And our thanks to the University of Kentucky for opening the door for us to talk with Nate Sestina. And we want to thank Nate for his time as well. I know a lot of people here in the Valley wanted to hear from Nate again. And Matt did a great job of capturing all of that with Nate Sestina of Kentucky. All right, today's show has been brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. It's a big shopping weekend. You need to stop at Sunbury Motors and see what they've got cooking there. All right, great deals, great product line, sales staff awesome, service department tremendous. Whether it's Sunbury Motors or Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. All right, headed to the bottom of the hour. Dick Girardi is going to join me in just a few moments here at the Barclays Center to get things rolling as Penn State takes on Ole Miss. The nightcap tonight here at Barclays will be Oklahoma State and Syracuse. Two winners will meet on Friday night. Two teams that don't come out on top will also meet a little bit earlier that on Friday as well. Thanks for joining us. Happy and a safe Thanksgiving to each and every one of you. We're thankful for each and every one of you on News Radio 1070 WKOK.